Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I am Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the one, the only, irrepressible Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Fabulous. We made it to the end of our work week here, and we're here to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County. We got Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. Bonus episodes every week. We talked about some Big Brother. We talked about some Love Island, some other things. Also, you can watch video on see the video version of our podcast with Patreon. And also there's ad-free listening, weekly newsletter, all the good stuff. So go join for the full experience. And without further ado, we should say we have on Monday, by the way, we have Amazon Live. We do that at 1:30 West Coast time. And that's 4:30 East Coast time. So come join us because we actually have a huge amount of fun doing that.
Yeah.
And we talk, we just sort of banter and show off products that we like. So come join us for that. Ronnie, how's it going? What's new? What's happening?
Good.
How you feeling?
Heading back to LA today. So I'm tracking Bueller on his little trip. He's making it in a car before me. He's driving to LA. tracking
he's actually
Bueller
driving
along.
The car.
Yeah,
he's driving the car. Everyone get out of the way.
And so I'm tracking my little doggy and watching when he goes boo boo and watching when he eats his dinner. So that's pretty fun. It's my mom's 75th birthday. It was yesterday. So happy birthday to my mazza. And so celebrated that, you know, did that stuff, fun birthday stuff. And that's it. Really, what more could you ask for? And then to go to your mom's birthday and come back and the Orange County ladies are like, we're going to dress like old people. Celebrate Emily's birthday. That's what Bravo really needed, and that's what I needed, was just to see an dress like old people plot. They really don't do it enough on Bravo.
Yeah, they don't. It's really too bad, but we definitely got a good amount of it. I really enjoyed the different looks of senior citizenship that they went for. I thought that was they showed a nice spectrum of geriatric looks and feelings.
Yeah, I think Heather's was the most realistic.
Yeah. I thought Gina's was very realistic. I was like, you know what? I can see Gina looking like this when she's like, honestly, 63. She doesn't have to wait till she's 81.
You know what's so weird is that I blocked out Gina. I think I just do that now. Like, I have a filter in my head that will just block things out. I don't even remember Gina, and I literally finished watching this episode 15 minutes ago.
I don't remember. That's kind of her brand, though. You know, it's like, oh, I don't even remember Gina. I mean, I'm just going to say this. I didn't think that it was like an amazing episode, but I don't hold it against the show because I'm like, don't forget, this was a party that Gina organized for Emily. So it was never going to be good television to begin with.
Yeah. It was nice to see Vicky without an Instagram filter, though.
It was nice. And also seeing like what Vicky might have actually wound up looking like had she never gone into reality television. Because I actually do firmly believe she would have become Mama from Mama's Family.
Oh, Vicky Lawrence. Stay with us forever. So yeah, we get Vicky, taglines
one
today.
Vicky to another.
Yeah. Yeah. From one super problematic Vicky to a less problematic Vicky.
Does Vicky Lawrence have any problematic qualities?
I don't think so.
I hope not.
No, she did. She even did like a one-man show last year called like Come See Mama.
I was going to say, if Vicky Lawrence is problematic, that would just wipe out just so many warm memories of win, lose, or draw. So yeah, I'm just really hoping for the best.
Yeah. All right, here we go. We get some taglines today, which is pretty exciting. Love a new tagline, Sesh. They have a lot of people, too, this season. They have them all lined up. They have them all lined up at the beginning. It's like, damn.
It was really going for a long time, but it was worth it because I absolutely love I love the Orange County remix theme that they've been doing for the past 4 years or so. You know, especially when at that drum, when the drum machine kicks in right at the beginning, where it's like, do, 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 do. It goes, I'm like, oh, I love the beatboxing. Orange County. So we start off with Heather, who says, my motives are like my taste, best left unquestioned. Don't question my tastes.
Well, how do I hold it all together? Resilience and shapewear.
Wow! Wow! Just falls down.
Then we have Jen. The truth speaks volumes, and I'm about to turn it up. I'm like, do you need to say the phrase turn it up? Do we have to say that when your son is just been accused of like starting a fire? Like, I just feel like turn it up is just like a phrase I think of with my stovetop.
Yeah.
I'm about to set this world on fire. Bling, bling. It's like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I get so angry. I've got flames down the side of my face. Thank you.
Flames on the side of my face.
Gina. Oh, no, it's your turn. Sorry.
No, it's my turn. I know it's your turn.
Just because I'm spoken for doesn't mean I won't speak up.
Oh, God. Of course. Like, we get it. You're getting, you know, you're engaged.
Like, yeah.
Why do engaged people do this? It's not your whole personality at all times, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what's your name?
Future Mrs. Travis.
Ma'am, this is the DMV, okay?
Yeah, but the thing is, when you don't have personality, any shred of personality becomes your whole personality. That's the thing. So yeah. Emily is like, my body may be new, but my mouth is the same as always. I have, what I'm trying to say is, I've got the body of a 30-year-old and the mouth of a 50-year-old. They messed up. They forgot to do my mouth. I'm furious. I was like, wow, that's a long tagline.
I may look different, but I've still got a sandwich in my purse.
Yeah, then you have the new girl, Carmella.
I'm the center of attention and a centerfold.
Except she doesn't know how to say it right. She speaks quietly and she's like, I'm the center of attention and a centerfold. I'm like, don't say centerfold. Say a centerfold, because it's center of attention and a centerfold, not I'm the center of attention and a centerfold. It's like you lose your whatever magic was surrounding Carmella.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Also, I don't think there is such a thing as centerfold anymore. And it ages yourself. You know what I mean? Because I think a lot of people are going to hear that and be like, what is that? What's a centerfold? And then you have to explain to them there was a magazine, and then, you know, sometimes in magazines, what's a magazine? Okay. They were paper versions of websites. And then you had to fold one of the pages over and you fold it out and it's like really long, you know?
I'm the center of attention and I'm a relic of legacy media. That would have been much better.
Yes. Thank you. Hi, I'm the center of attention as Scott Baio used to jerk off to me in real life. Wasn't he always at the Playboy Mansion? Every time I think of the Playboy Mansion, I just think of gross Scott Baio being there and probably getting handsy with everybody.
Yeah. Well, like I think I've said many times on the show, I did manage to make my way there once 24 years ago. And Anna Nicole Smith was there and Gloria Allred and Jesse Jackson. And I was like, wow, this makes no sense.
It doesn't make a ton of sense, but it is a lot better than the celebrities that she brought up on her. She's like, yeah, well, I would be at the Playboy Mansion. I mean, Tony the Tiger was there. Sherman Helmsley. From Who's the Boss. Yeah.
And also the spinoff of Who's the Boss that everyone forgot about called I'm Actually the Boss. Didn't do very well.
There was a spinoff of that, wasn't there?
Was there? I'm sure.
I feel like there was a spinoff of Who's the Boss.
Angela. It's called Danny Pintura Needs a Job. Danny Pintura has made some media. Danny Pintura has been in the news, I think, because he was, he's like driving Lyft or Uber or something. I'm like, get in line. I mean, I'm obviously not doing that anymore, but I did it. I did it. So
there was a spinoff.
Okay. I have a chip on my shoulder because I met him at a party once like 15 years ago and he was such a dick to me that I'm like, anytime I have a chance to take a dig at Danny Pintura, I'm like, I'm going to take it.
I don't know who that is. So I'm just nodding along. Who was he? Who's the Boss?
He's the kid on Who's the Boss. He's the son. He's actually I really shouldn't be holding on to a grudge for 15 years for poor Danny Pintoro. It sounds like he's hit hard times.
Oh, has he?
To me.
I looked him up. It says, what is Danny Pintoro doing today? Former child star Danny Pintoro currently balances acting with 5 different gig jobs to make ends meet, which notably includes working as an Amazon Flex delivery driver.
Oh, that's what it was.
So, you know. But there was a spinoff of Living Dolls called... I mean, there was a spinoff of Who's the Boss called Living Dolls. Do not remember that.
I can't even imagine how that... Was that about Mona? Was it like, did Mona become a fashion designer? I would love that.
It was a vehicle for teen models in New York and is primarily notable today for featuring the first acting roles of Halle Berry and Leah Remini. The show was born out of a backdoor pilot in the 5th season of Who's the Boss, focusing on a character, Charlie, played by Leah Remini, who was introduced as Samantha Michelli's friend. While a sequel series that would have reunited Tony Danza and Alyssa Milano was in development for Amazon's Freevee, it was officially scrapped and is not moving forward.
Well.
Wow. Okay. Well, who is the boss? Michael Learned. Michael Learned, by the way, was the matriarch of that show. Michael Learned.
I mean, well, I know a matriarch is a woman, but wasn't Mona the matriarch of Who's the Boss? She was
Michael
the mom. Learned
was the matriarch of Living Dolls.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I'm the one who brought up Living Dolls.
I saw Michael Learned in The Sisters Rosenzweig.
Wow. There you go. You know, The Sisters Rosenzweig has played longer on this show in mentions than it did in real life.
Well, we're a really big Wendy Wasserstein podcast. People don't realize that.
Wasserstein's the boss.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Oh, Tamara. Go for it.
I'm still the hottest housewife, bitch. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, this was another one that wasn't read right. She's like, I'm still the hottest housewife, and that's my opinion. No, that's not how you say that's my opinion. You say that's my opinion. I mean, if you're not going to do it, then don't do it. Don't use that as your line, you know?
Yeah. So that's actually a callback, because I think her first tagline was something like,
I'm the hottest housewife in Harris County. My hair looks like a gumdrop.
So it's a callback to 20 years. And then we end with Vicky.
Wives come and go, but legends, we whip it up forever.
What was your favorite of... What was your favorite of all these lines?
Just because I'm spoken for it doesn't mean I won't speak up.
Just kidding.
It's not a bad line.
I don't know. I think probably Heather's probably. So it was funny.
Yeah. I think Heather's, I don't know. I kind of enjoy Shannon's. How do I hold it all together? Resilience and shapewear.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that. Not mad at
that. Yeah, that one's pretty good too. I think it starts going downhill with Jen. And then keeps kind of going. So we go to Bunge Gym.
Bunge?
But it
sounds like some sort of like a word we're not supposed to say. She smelled like Bunge.
You guys, that word was outlawed. In the early 2000s. Okay? We've all decided we're no longer saying Bunge.
Yeah, Bunge. It's a gym called Bunge. And it's a gym where people get strap onto bungee cords and then do like aerobics or something. So Shannon's like, I'm so excited to be here. Because I'm happy. I live at the ranch. Oh, God, I've seen this on Instagram, which is rare because I only limit myself to 24 minutes of social media per week. Because I've heard that Instagram will decay your eyeballs because of lasers in the phone. So they got in that window. Congratulations.
You're gonna fly, Pedranti.
And Gina's like, oh my God, I'm so scared. I feel so bad.
I feel bungy.
So they're gonna
I feel so bunge.
I feel so bunge. So now, naturally, they get strapped into bungee cords and start doing a step touch because why not? And I was like, what is this?
And then the instructor was like, okay, guys, we're starting with the step touch because I want you to hear the rhythm of the music and get it into your body. You're talking to Shannon and Gina and Jen. There will be no rhythm here getting into any bodies, okay?
There will be none. The instructor's like, okay, now that I've strapped you into your bungee cords and you're doing a step touch, the big reveal is that you will all be recreating Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark. Okay, everyone. Okay, you are Doc Doc.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
So they do this thing and Shannon's like, well, I'm not a huge fan of exercise, but I need to be more stable. Cue montage of me going, Shannon wacky purposely Shannon falling 9 million times.
Yes. But then she actually did show some footage of herself trying to pick up mail from her front stoop and just falling over. And that one made me laugh because that one was not actually intentional. So
that was good. She said, yeah, Gina called me and then I just fell over and you just see the ring cam footage of her falling over. You know, people were so worried about ring cams, like the dirt, you know, just the cameras everywhere. They're like in your, you know, your Alexa thing in your house, like they're everywhere now. And people were like, oh my God, cameras, what if the government's going to get us? What is the government doing watching all of these videos? It's just all of us like picking our nose while we're waiting for somebody to come to the door or just falling down when your phone rings.
They basically, ring cams are basically in the new America's Funniest Home Videos, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, dogs chasing things. It's a lot of black bear footage. That's a constant thing. It's like, watch as this fearless chicken chased away a black bear. It's always like some black bear getting chased away by some very small animal. A tree frog chased away a black bear.
You know, I'm in. I'm into it. So yeah. Shannon is going to learn balance somehow from swinging around and falling over on a bungee. And so this is Shannon's typical, like, whoa, it's me. Why am I upside down?
Yeah. And it was kind of fun watching her because, like, she kept on doing these sort of, like, lunge actions, almost like a flying squirrel. She's like, wow! And she put, like, all her limbs out, and the cord would just rip her all the way back, and she'd just fall over. It was kind of like stunts, watching her as a stunt woman. So they do that, and then it ends.
A stunt
and,
woman for what? Kind of stunt. What kind of stunt film would this be?
It's like a stunt woman for like grape nuts. So like
death becomes her, like the lady just falling down the stairs over and over.
Well, I've been booked for a cornflakes commercial, so I got to get my stunt work in.
So the. Now they all sit down and talk after the workout. And she's like, well, as you can see, I've been coming here for quite some time.
That was a joke.
And Gina's like, yeah, the only time I work out is when I'm with Jen. She's like, oh, thank you so much. Well, you're very lucky that you look the way you look. So, you know, it's almost like you've been working out in a parking lot the way I do. So congratulations. Yeah.
Well, it's not anything, you know, special, any kind of special surgery or anything. She's young. Okay, that's the answer. She's like, well, speaking of being young, Emily's now 50. And, like, of course, like, we went to Paris.
And then we see a picture of them. Like, yeah, we're in Paris in front of the Eiffel Tower. And she wants to have a party for Emily because going to Paris isn't enough. Now she needs to throw a party for her best friend because it's on camera.
So that makes sense. In my mindset, I was like, oh, okay. So since everyone couldn't be in Paris, they're going to throw an Emily in Paris party. Because it makes total sense.
She's like,
no.
You would think,
that would have been
right?
Cute, but this cast does not have the fashion to do Emily in Paris. I mean, Emily in Paris is all about fashion. These ladies, not
they
could
do Emily in Paris Casino in Vegas. That's that's what they could do.
Emily in Rayon, you know, the spinoff when Emily loses everything.
Emily in Laguna. So Gina is like,
so I want to give like Emily crap about getting old. So I like arrange to have like a bingo drag brunch. And then like I want all of us to like dress up like old ladies.
Wait a minute. And like Golden Girls old ladies? Like that type of old lady? Like real, real old ladies? Like pre-surgery old ladies? Why would we do that? Why would anybody do that to themselves?
I feel like these are fighting words. I feel like this is Gina's passive aggressive attack on the rest of the cast. Because, like, you know, this cast is not necessarily full of spring chickens. And also, Gina, like, I think you're kind of, like, flaunting the fact that you're the youngest of the bunch. So be careful. Be careful. You'll be 50 soon. So
oh, that's her. That's always been her vibe. And then when she gets mad, she's like, she's old.
Yeah, that is what she does.
But I think that is kind of everybody's thing, right? Because even when you're 50.
Like me. The same age as Emily.
Even when you're 50, you look at someone, you know, maybe 15, 20 years older. It's like, oh, my God, they're so old. This is crazy. It's like, babe, you're right there. You're right there. You're five right minutes there. Away. You know,
I just, yeah, oh, exactly. Geez. So
it's like, yeah, it's going to like, just, it'll be like extra hot. This way, like, we'll all look old and like stupid, but then she'll look really hot. Because as we all know, when you get old, you're not hot anymore.
So then, like, oh, my God, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this great idea.
She was like, oh, well, I guess I have my work cut out for me. Yeah, you have to put on a wig, Shannon. Okay, well, okay.
Do you know how many necks I've had taken off to not look like this?
I know. When I was getting my neck lift,
sliding doors.
You know, when I came out of it from my neck lift, I told the doctor, how much skin came off? He just kind of looked at me and didn't even answer. This, by the way, this doctor, I think low-key hated me, which I don't blame him. But he didn't even answer me. And I was asking because when Shannon got it done last time, she said, well, that doctor told me he has never seen so much skin taken off one neck. And I thought that was so cool. I was like, how much did I get? I should have asked him to save it. I could have made like a little, I don't know, coin purse or something out of it. Or a wallet. I don't know how much it was.
I love a non-creepy coin purse made out of your own human flesh. Was it like when you're like when you get like a chicken thigh with like bone-in skin on chicken thigh and there's like that extra flap of skin on the end that's like, that's you got to cut it off?
I feel like it was more because I had a lot of stitches. So I wanted to see how much. And I don't know. I thought that was a good idea to like make a little coin purse or something cute out of it. I mean,
a handkerchief.
I know it's kind of Silence of the Lambs, but it's not as gross if it's your own skin. You know, and then you could just... Over the years, by the time I'm 80, I could have like a whole closet full of accessories.
And then you could like put someone in a well and dress them in your skin. It'd be reverse Silence of the Lambs, actually. that's the out closeted version of Silence of the Lambs, because the closeted version is I'm going to skin you and wear your clothes. But then once you're out of the closet, you realize you just want to make a woman prettier by putting your skin on them. You're like, no, you get the skin.
Or just wear dying. Myself, you know, maybe it could be accessories. Like I could turn my neck into like an Apple Watch band, you know, and then I could turn, you know, my eyes when I get my eyes done one day, I can, you know, when I get my butt lifted or whatever, you just take each little thing and then add an accessory to yourself, you know, and then by the time you're in your 80s or whatever, you could walk around just fully accessorized by your own old skin that you got taken away. I mean, I think it's a really good idea. And you know what? Someone's going to hear this and invent it. And I'm going to be like, Ben, I came up with that idea. And you're going to be like, I don't remember that.
Yeah. That's true. Cause I probably will push this visual out of my brain as soon as possible.
Sorry. Let's talk about it more.
So, yeah. Shannon, Gina says like,
Shannon, did you even say hello to Tim last night? She's like, no. And you know what, you guys? I don't want to talk about it. So please, more questions.
Jen's like, okay. But, you know, you always take that approach. And like, I just can't do that. I like to speak up. Or as my tagline says, turn it up. Because I'm getting loud. I'm going to turn it up.
You know what? I think it's time for you, Shannon, to light a match. Okay?
And Shannon's like, wait a minute. You're saying I always take the approach? That I don't want to talk about it. Have you seen this show?
Well, you've been taking that approach. Like, for one thing, you'll say, oh, DeBro likes to keep her hands clean. And sometimes it's feeling like you want me to do it and you want Emily to do it.
What? No. No, I just like to surround myself with people who are dumb enough to fall into the trap. I don't, not that I want you to do it. I just enjoy watching you do it. That's it. I mean, absolutely. No, I don't do that. Look, me doing that looks like I'm trying to get the whole group to gang up on Tamara. And that is not the intent. No, I absolutely would never want you guys to fight my battles.
It's like accusing the Orange Alert of warning people that everybody's a terrorist. Well, I'm sorry for orange. It's a color. Okay?
Shannon, you definitely... Yeah, Shannon definitely does that, but it's also...
I don't get it. I feel bad.
It's also a long hallowed tradition of Real Housewives that people shit talk, and then someone takes that shit talk and tells everybody else and goes, you are manipulating me. You are manipulating me into telling everybody. No, you're just a person who can't be shit talked around.
Yeah. And also, like, this show in particular has a very long history of blatant manipulators and blatant, you know, patsies. And the patsies know that they're patsies and they still keep doing it. It's like Gina will say things like,
the thing with Tamara is that, like, she'll, like, put something out there and then, like, you go and report it and then she looks good and then you're, like, the messenger gets killed and, like, happens every time. And then, like, Gina turns around and does it, like, 10 times in the season and goes, well, I feel bad, but, like, yeah. If I had known it, I wouldn't have said it.
It's just so sad to think of Gina as a patsy. Cheers, thanks a lot. She is. You are no Patsy, ma'am. Okay, you are no Patsy or Eddie, ma'am. But yeah, you're right. Gina and Emily both do that, but Gina is the worst about doing it. Like,
oh my god, she's manipulating me into telling Shannon that she looks old. Shannon, you look old. Oh my god, I feel so bad.
Rinna would do it too on Beverly Hills. To be fair, to give some to remind people that it extends beyond this franchise. Rinna would fall for these traps all the time and then get so mad about it. But she would know it was happening. But
famously, I mean, Rinna's were the biggest on Housewives history. I mean, she had the Munchausens. You have Munchausens. She's like, oh, that was Vanderpump and Kyle who manipulated me into saying that. And then there was the doggy gate, the puppy gate with Dorit, where they were talking. Lisa Vanderpump was talking shit about Dorit getting rid of the adopted dog, and then Rinna, you know, and everybody bringing it forth, and Rinna really going through, like, you Vanderpump manipulated this whole thing. Oh, suckers. Classic. You're all suckers. But God, so such entertaining suckers. Those were the days. You remember when we complained about Puppygate going on for too long? God, I miss Puppygate.
I don't feel like I did. I feel like I always enjoyed it. People can maybe correct me, but I feel like I always enjoyed it. I've often been someone where when people say, like, this is going on so long, I'm often someone who relishes it. I, you know, I like a long.
Oh, yeah. Thing. Then that was me. That was me who complained about it. Probably like yesterday, because I complained about it all the time. Like, I still complain about it in modern times. I'm like, oh, fucking Puppygate. Am I right? I'll just bring it up at a party to see who's listening.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that we as a podcast are known for brevity. Anyway, back to this first scene. So Shannon is like,
what are you talking about, Jen? I may have expressed some opinions here or there.
And then we see a flashback of Shannon just like venting about like Heather to like Jen.
Be like, well, I mean, it's frustrating that when we're alone with Heather, she'll say certain things. And then when we're all together as a group, she's like, buddy, buddy. And I am so furious. And you know what? Someone should finally say that to her face. And I wonder who it would be of the two of us. Anywho. But anyway, don't fight my battles, my poor sweet arsonist.
Well, in no way, shape, form, shapewear, or formwear did I expect her to say things on my behalf. I absolutely did not.
Well, and actually, I did have a dream last night that I was a cylinder, and then as a cylinder I did want her to say things. So I guess in one shape I did want her to say something, but in all other shapes I did not want her to say something.
And Jen's like, well, you know, I was like, forget it, I'm just gonna say it to Tamara, and I did. So there. Thank you. Thank you for listening. And Gina's like,
yeah, she basically told Tamara we all talk shit about her when she's not there.
Oh, I see.
Jen's like, I did. The problem was, you know, I brought up Heather and Tamara walked away kind of icy to Heather. And, you know, it's a story of fire and ice, if you will. And Heather's no dummy. She knows that Tamara's pissed, and I'm sure Heather's looking at me like, what the fuck did you do that for? Yeah, because it's a good question. What the fuck did you do that for? Yeah. So Jen's like, you know, her intention was not to cause problems for Heather and Tamara. She just wants to just get everything out there. And she goes, I know it's so hard for Heather, and I'm going to speak for my girlfriend. And it's so nice to know that you have someone.
We see a flashback with Heather being like, I always feel in this group like everyone sort of buddies up and I don't feel like I have a buddy. You have to be my buddy now. There's nothing I love more than making a poor person my buddy.
Heather's just desperate at this point. Like, it's been years that Heather has wanted to be part of a fun duo. Like, years. Even a trio. But even when she's, like, sort of wedged her way into a trio, she always knows she's on the outside. She just wants a bestie on this show, and she cannot get it. And now she's at the point where she is actively recruiting. Like Jen just, you know, answered a call for on Indeed.com. It's like, now recruiting. Buddy for an extremely wealthy person. Obligations, carrying all my bowls to Nobu. Other obligations, using the service door. Other obligations, not talking to me unless talked to. Thank you.
Heather really has been trying to get a little friend for years, and she just can't do it because it just never comes off. You know, she's just not a very genuine, maybe she is genuine, but she's a very robotic, disingenuous person.
Well, you know, here's the
personality
thing.
Wise. She like, is. Remember when she went with Gina? She's like, look at us, both East Coasters going to the East Coast together, walking through the city like a couple of girls, eating pizza. Whoops, I slipped a pizza on my purse. That is how carefree I am, girlfriend. Hey, you need a new jacket? I'll bring you 97 of the same jacket for you to try on.
That's because Heather keeps on going to the shelter and like she keeps on getting these rescues and we all know she just wants a purebred, but she doesn't, you know, and the show won't give her any, by the way, because like in her perfect world, she would be buddy buddy with her friend who has the vineyard, who shows up in the background of these episodes. But instead, like, the show just throws her a Jen or a Gina or an Emily, and she has to, she just like tries to make it work. But they're from two different worlds. It's just the connection is not there. They don't understand her. She doesn't really understand them. And they try to make it work because, like, friendship is beyond all sorts of socioeconomic classes. But it's just – she can't do it.
She can't do it. And the first person I thought of, too, was the couple that they had over when she and Terry had the other doctor, Dr. Jen, over with Ryan. You remember that one?
Yeah, that's the lady. That's the wine lady.
That's the lady, right? Yeah, that's the first one I thought of, too.
I always forget
just
their name.
Just someone that she can be awful. Just she can be just horrible and rich and terrible with, you know? And I think that she needs that. I mean, look, Heather, I've had my ups and downs with Heather on the show, just, I guess, like any character on a reality show. Like, some years they make you crazy. Some years they're great. Some years they're just blah. But Heather has paid her dues. Give her an awful person to hang out with. Like, another awful, equally rich person.
Bring Nancy Bello on. Make her full-time. You know, honestly, there could have been some real good... they're the Bello family orchard. Vineyards or whatever. But honestly, like, there could have been a world where Heather and Katie Janella could have been assholes together, because Katie Janella already sort of talks in a waspy way, and it just would have been, that could have worked if Katie hadn't fallen for Gina's, you know, schemes to, you know, Katie was speaking of someone who did dirty work, it was Katie doing Gina's dirty work. But that could have worked out. Too bad.
Yeah. Let's see, where are we? So Jen's like, yeah, you know, and then I get in the car and I get a text from Tamara, and she's saying, like, I appreciate you so much. You know, we're friends. And I thought, oh my God, fuck, now I'm friends with Tamara again? Oh, that's, I mean, listen, the text was very kind, but in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, that was not my intent. I'm not friends with Tamara again. Well, that's what you get, Dodo.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, the fact that I feel like I do have a friendship with Heather and now I've caused this problem. I can see this spiraling and I want to fix it. Yeah, because you guys sat down and agreed to be buddies. And the first thing you did was talk shit about her behind her back and say, make it sound like she was like a monster. And now you're like, oh, wow. No, she doesn't like me anymore.
Yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we go over to Emily and Shane. And they're doing a photo shoot. We're a bride and groom. Wow, that's great. On the season that you're talking about, wanting to divorce Shane again.
I know. they're taking photos for her new podcast or their new podcast. And she says, so, you know how we did Legally Brunette and we did the shots for Legally Brunette, which were amazing, by the way. A lot of these cases that we talked about have to do with husbands, you know, unaliving wives and wives unaliving husbands. So why not separate that out and just have its own podcast where we call it Till Death Do Us Part? The photographer's like, great. That's like, that's amazing. I'm so excited. Can you just like stand still so I can take the photo? Thanks.
A spinoff of something that not that many people are already into. That's crazy. It's like that murder channel. I think it's ID, but one of the murder channels that they have so many murder shows that they really get specific, like a neighbor next door, you know, and then every single one of them is about a neighbor next door going crazy and killing someone. I mean, they're very specific. It's like the lady I hired to walk my dog once. It's like, whoa, dog walkers who have committed murder. Hamster ball choke. Hamster balls choking people over the years. Like, damn, you guys, there's really every kind of murder.
There really is. I mean, I think this is a good title for a podcast, Till Death Do Us Part. But I mean, it's like, wow, like this revolutionary idea of a podcast about husbands who kill wives or wives who kill husbands. I'm like, all right, you know.
But I think that's already the name of something. It has to be the name Till Death Do Us Part title. Let's see if it's in anything. The phrase originally from traditional wedding vows, it has to be. Well, there's a film in 2023, Till Death Do Us Part, and in 2027. And there's a show called Till Death Do Us Part. Yeah, 2007, 2019, Till Death Do Us Part, a classic 1960s BBC, Till Death Do Us Part, 1997, a young adult romance. So I guess you're allowed to use it a million times.
Yeah. Speaking of death, did you hear that Brenda Fricker died?
No, stop. Why?
We don't get a lot of Brenda Fricker moments, okay? So let's celebrate her. Let's
Brenda Fricker? You mean that amateur actress who never really had a career
after her Oscar?
How dare you? What a bummer. God, RIP Brenda Fricker. We loved you. But I would like to congratulate Emily because she's already getting rating. Like if you look up Till Death Do Us Part title, you already see the ratings her future podcast is going to get. 2 stars, 1.5 star. I mean, if you're going to use a title that's been done a million times, Google it and make sure that people don't search for Death Do Us Part and the first thing that comes up is 2 stars, you know?
Well, by the way, the reason why I mentioned Brenda Fricker, really.
Call yourself Brenda Fricker. You'll come up with 5 stars every time.
No, I bring it up because it was like trending on Twitter. And I was like, you know, God bless this actress. She, you know, she won an Oscar. She had, you know, she was a great actress. She worked. And you never would have thought that like her death would be the one that would cause Twitter to be like, everyone stop. We have to share this. So I love that Brenda Fricker had a moment on Twitter.
Yeah, I love Brenda Fricker. She's a great actress. But I do dread going on like Facebook or whatever, or Instagram or whatever, where every, you know, background actor you've ever met is going to post, here's me and Brenda Fricker.
I know.
One of my true allies and friends, Brenda Fricker, who I worked with, I'm mourning today. What, you met Brenda Fricker in a crosswalk? Okay, stop. Okay. This is not your moment.
She was doing method work for her Home Alone 2 part. So, anyway, RIP.
Let's just pretend that my left foot never happened.
Speaking of which, I think I have a bunion. Could someone take me to the doctor, please? Oh, God.
So they're doing this photo shoot. Okay, so they're doing a new podcast about true crime, husbands and wives killing each other. And Emily's saying how starting out under 2 T's was great because they had a built-in audience. But now Gina's telling me that Tamara's mad at me because I didn't show gratitude. And we see Tamara the other day when they were sitting at that like Batika store or whatever, it was like,
yeah, she put out a post that said, oh, we're going on our own feed. There's that. Thank you, Teddy. Thank you, Tamara. Thank you, India. Thank you, Tutis. It just felt like she was being ungrateful.
It's funny how everybody is just forgetting the real reason that Tamara got pissed at Emily. Emily is, of course, the biggest victim. Like, she said my podcast was taking on her network. Yeah, you guys accused her of spreading rumors and talking to bloggers. Why aren't they bringing that up? Or did they bring it up and I just didn't hear it? But it's so funny that Emily's like, I can't believe she did this to me. Mm-hmm. You were awful. You were fucking awful last season, as usual. And now you're coming back crying like you're the victim. I can't.
And I mean, Emily gets what she deserves because she cozied up to Tamara. She kissed Tamara's ass. She did all those things. And now I came back to burn her. Do you think that Emily should have, when she left the 2T's umbrella, do you think that she should have thanked them in her message?
Well, yeah. I mean, normally if you move to another place or whatever, you say like, oh, it's been so good being with my, you know, my Teddy family. And I mean, it would have been nice, but I don't know that it's required, especially if she got dropped by them, you know, because yeah, they're with iHeart and this thing is also with iHeart. So I don't know how that works.
If they got dropped, then I don't know if you have to thank them, but if she made the volunteer move, probably would have been the nice thing to do, believe it or not. I mean, I hate to advocate for this, but I think probably say, oh, and thanks to Teddy and Tamara for, you know, basically putting our show on. Yeah, giving me my start, you know.
It would have been nice, but Tamara was on the reunion like, your podcast tank, nobody listens to that shit, stupid. So, I don't know. Do you think that person? And Teddy, you know, Teddy's always going to be on Tamara's side no matter what, or Kyle's, so. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that you need to say thank you if someone's an asshole. I don't know how that works.
She even says here, Emily says, you know, when you say something about my podcast that isn't accurate, that really pisses me off. Like, why are you insulting something that makes you money? I can only assume that your intent is to humiliate me. So just say you're sorry. We're too old to act like this.
Except for me, because I'm still like young. Yeah.
Yeah, so she's talking to Shane and she's like, well, starting out under 2T's was great because we had a built-in audience, but Gina's telling me Tamara. Oh yeah, sorry, you already did that part. Let me scroll a bit. So he's like, okay, so how about you put together a thank you card and then just say thank you? Because what is she going to do then? I mean, if you just say thank you, then she can't say you didn't say thank you.
She will, what she will do is she'll take the card and she'll be like, this is what I think about your card, and rip it in half and say like, this is not supposed to be a thank you. This isn't a thank you. This is stupid. You know, so no, I don't think the thank you card will really work. Also,
really, why don't you just give me a card that says fuck you, because that's what you mean. They're shopping fuck box meetings, bitch.
So Tamara arrives at a restaurant called Rare Society, which I don't know why that's like funny, and Heather's there too, and Heather's probably like, I like this restaurant because I would rarely be seen in society eating with Tamara Barney. Okay, hey, how are you? How is it going today? Can you fix your hair? And so Tamara's like, oh, like this? She's like, no, the other way.
Like this?
Oh, turns out you can't get the poor out of those locks, so you could just have it however you want.
Unfortunately, scrunching doesn't cause fresh hair to grow.
Okay, well, so I guess we should talk. So why is your hair looking more poor than usual?
Well, I was paddleboarding.
Oh, you and Eddie, is that true?
She's like, yeah.
And we see footage of them paddleboarding and her rolling around in the saltwater.
She falls off the paddleboard. And at home, Shannon's like, whoa, oh, someone is stealing material. Well, that is, whoa.
Have I been relatable enough asking you questions about why you got dirt in your hair like usual?
Oh, you know, I'm done with all the daredevil shit. What daredevil shit did Heather do? Did she walk into a Dollar Tree once?
Don't you remember? She did a a tough mutter, and then she like sprained her ankle or something. Remember, she's like, I'm a joiner. You ask me to do a tough mutter, and I will, because I am relatable.
So Tamara's like, yeah, I can't do it. It's like getting older. My nervous system's getting really weird.
Heather's like, meaning what, you uninformed imbecile? And she's Tamara's like,
I haven't slept in 2 nights.
So, oh, well, I didn't go to sleep until 2 a.m. last night. I didn't like the way we ended the party. I like Heather's just like, I'm just going to disregard you saying that your nervous system is in decline and that you haven't been able to sleep. Well, I haven't. She's like, I was able to go to sleep, but just slightly later than usual. Anyway, my turn to talk. So I didn't like the way we ended the party. I didn't like you walking off. I didn't like the conversation I had with Jen afterwards. I didn't like any of it. And then I realized I don't like any of you people. Anyway, what's new with you?
Heather's like, well, what did she say? And Tamara says,
well, I just want to let you know that Heather said things behind your back. That's what Jen said.
She's like, oh, stop. Stop.
Yeah, and then I'm put in the box. Like, basically, I'm not friends with people that I think I'm friends with. What the hell? You put me in the box, Jenna?
She goes, I put everyone in a box. Listen, it's not legal to put dry cleaning bags over their heads anymore and just watch them flail in the back seat. Boxes it is.
Here, I got you one. It's a leftover shoebox from Nikki. He bought some Reeboks. Does it fit over your head?
Stop it.
Oh, I got sand in my shoebox. Oh, well. Alfredo, can you take this? Thank you.
So we see flashbacks of Jen saying this stuff, and Jen is questioning Heather, like,
well, but don't you think she crosses lines with you? Uh-huh. And don't you ever feel like you just want to say, enough, and, you know, what bucket do you put her in? You know, it's different than a box, but, you know, I could change it. A bucket could be a box. A bucket with a lid. Is that a box? Yes or no? Answer me.
A bucket is sort of like an open-faced sandwich, but in box version. See what I'm saying?
No.
So
why don't
Heather's
you put
like
your face on a sandwich.
I feel like this is when I put a fresh change of clothes and a bar of soap on a string and dragged it around the house until Alfredo came to the kitchen to clean the oven. They did. And I don't like it. They don't understand. I can have a problem with your behavior and then reach out to you and call you as a friend.
Yeah, but you talk to me like I'm a serial killer. I mean, I don't feel like you like me.
She's like, oh, no, no, no. I'm not trying to make you sound like a serial killer. You do that for yourself. I could not have been more in your corner. Which reminds me, I need to get some de-lysing medication after this. Been in your
corner.
I'm
not trying to call you a serial killer, just a taste murderer. Do you understand? Is that clearer? And so Tamara's like,
well, I can see why Jen's confused about Evan not liking me and that, because it's so nice to meet a party. You know, I've been in that party about Heather, and I feel a little bit, it's manipulative.
Come back, Tamara. Come back.
Okay, Heather's controlling. That's it.
Yeah, we know. And this is so funny. It's two people who've known each other forever calling each other out for who that person is. You know, Tamara's like, Heather's a manipulative, you know, Damn it, these shows really train you wrong. A manipulative person. And Tamara is someone that everyone's terrified of because she's mean. I mean, you're both right. Just eat your lunch. You know, at some point you just have to be like, you are a horrible human being. And I really love getting chips with you. Let's order some.
Well, and you know that like Heather is definitely on edge this season, because with the return of Vicky, it means that the return of the Tres Amigas is on the horizon. And so Heather's been pushed all the way down to number four, and she is not happy about this. So she goes, just because you don't like someone's behavior, that doesn't mean you hate the person. Similarly, just because you don't like the way someone acts doesn't mean that you hate them as an actor, Wendy Malick.
Yeah, I don't understand what that means. What the hell? So wait, can I be in a different box? The other people are in? I don't want to be in the same box. I mean, maybe put me in the pretty box or something.
It's like, everyone's in their own box. Okay? So, you know, that's what I was trying to explain to Jen. Jen's in the stupid box. Okay, this is how she is. She didn't get it. She thinks the box is a bucket. Duh.
The most important thing is Alfredo is not allowed to open the boxes. We give him things in bags.
So Heather tells us that in years past, maybe she wouldn't say things directly to Tamara because Tamara is scary. But you have to compartmentalize certain parts of people so you can enjoy other parts of them. You know, because, you know, when you're friends with trauma, that's how it works. You push it down. You push it down.
Well, if you have a problem with me, I just want you to tell me what the problem is, bitch.
She's like, well, I told you exactly how I felt at what happened at the Quiet Women. Woman, I told you I was embarrassed. Was I mincing words with you? No, I am not telling you that I've never talked about you. I have. I've laughed about you. For instance, I just told Nancy Bello, wow, you should see the piece of garbage I have to film with tomorrow. God, worse than ever. I say these things, but I'm being very honest with you.
The other day, I was telling you, you know what? You look fantastic. Whatever you're doing, I would like to do it. And then I realized I was talking to a stick of beef jerky. But the intention was there. The intention was there.
It's like, hey, wait a minute.
Tamara, I know we spend so much time asking, why is there sand in your hair? But maybe we should be asking the beach, why is there Tamara Judge hair in your sand?
I think that Heather changes her personality with whoever she hangs out with. What about that? So, you know what? Just don't talk about me. Just don't talk about me to them.
And she's like, okay, I'm not going to on this television show about women talking about each other.
Yeah. I'm hoping that she'll stop, so that way I can be the other one talking behind one of our backs, okay? But if she doesn't, these girls are going to let me know because they're getting sick of it too.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
Can I at least be in a box with the pretty bow?
With diamonds. Not lab, though.
Now I get it.
So then Shannon goes to a boutique called On Okay, style. Is it supposed to be on Q? Am I spelling Q wrong? French. It's Q-U-E.
Looks French. Like it's probably
only know it is Spanish. Saying. Well, pardoneme. Yeah. Pardoneme.
No sensations. I'll tell you that much. So Shannon walks in and she goes, oh, well, I haven't seen you for a while. And the owner's like, well, look at you. You look great. What happened? Also, we've never met before.
Oh, well, what kind of bag is this?
And she's like, oh, that's Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Oh, ooh, well, it's Hermes looking. And you are doing great work. You're doing great work, Lady Naomi, is it?
Susan.
Oh, of course. Oh, wow, Naomi, look at me, having fun.
Naomi is kind of an asshole. Can we just say? Lady who works here. Not great. You come in and she goes, whoa, you look great. What happened?
What? Well, okay. I will just look at your Gucci ripoffs, Naomi.
I looked up Q-U-E, and in French it means that. So right. On that style.
Oh, I guess it could I be on that style, it. But also O-N is also a French. That's also a word in French. It's like.
Oh.
It's like, it's almost like you. Like when you say you generally, it's like. Here's something you should know about, you know. So I don't really know what this. I don't understand this boutique. That's what I'm trying to say.
No, I don't understand most of the boutiques they go into. They're all very confusing places. So she's looking at a purse, and it's Jean-Paul Gaultier. Shannon's like, oh well, that's very Hermes looking. No offense to Jean-Paul or Hermes. Who am I offending right now? What is this store called?
I appreciate they have something Hermes looking. Do you have anything that's mayonnaise tasting? I'm a little peckish.
So then Carmela walks in and she's like, they're bonding, Carmela and Shannon, because, you know, they both live in the generally same neighborhood. So Shannon's like, because Shannon tells us,
well, my fellow member of the ranch. Gina is throwing a surprise birthday party for Emily for her 50th birthday, and I'd love for you to come because I can already tell that we're going to become great friends because I need allies now that Vicky's back and Tamara may steal her. So will you be friends with me, neighbor? Please, please.
When I met Carmela, she had such a great energy and an attitude.
And Carmela's like, yeah, she's just so genuine. I really feel like she's a girl's girl.
Yep. And so Shannon's like,
I'm so excited that she's my neighbor. I'm so excited. I mean, she's a bit slutty and uncouth, and I wouldn't trust my man around her. And if she goes walking on the beach with David, I will have a certainly different opinion. But like, I do love that she can be my friend. So yes.
Yeah. So then Shannon asks her about Heather. She's like,
well, did you get to interact with Heather much? I know it's her party. So how was that for you? Ooh.
She's like, well, I did talk to her. I mean, she does throw a mean party. So that's something. I sense she doesn't really like Heather very much. No, she's like, wow, throws a mean party.
Well, I know. You know, everything is always so over the top. Did you talk to Tamara? Right? You agree she's a bitch, right? Your words, not mine. And Carmela's like, yeah, a little bit. Not much. I mean, you made that comment. And I'm like, I like you. And we see a flashback of Shannon saying,
wow, Tamara's dressed like Mary, Queen of Angels right now. Miss Conservative, which is a fucking joke.
And you see Carmela go,
So, you know, they're complimenting each other. They're like, you're cool. You're cool. And so Carmela's like, I mean, it was just easy with you. Instead of feeling like, are you married? Are you divorced? I'm like, oh my God. I'm just so sick of answering the questions. I mean, my shit's messed up. You know, she's like, well, I mean, by the way, whose isn't? I can't wait for you to tell us your history so I can make this look the entire time you're talking. Ooh, 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 ooh.
I'm going to pretend that Miss Youngster over here has worse problems than I do right now. So that way she becomes friends with me. But we all know that I'm the one who has worse problems than this one. Okay. So how long were you married and what sort of pain did you receive from him?
She goes, probably for like 12 to 13 years, but it was like, I was like 21. I was young.
Oh, you were taken advantage of. You were young. You didn't know. And he ruined your life. I get it. Wow. Okay. We're best friends now, right? Carmela, please.
So she was married to an NFL quarterback, right? Yep. Jeff Garcia. And she's like, I don't even know how it happened because we're so different. He was 34. I was 21. Yeah.
I don't know how that happened either. I mean,
me neither.
Normally, crazy. Quarterbacks are famous for dating people their age or possibly even older. So I don't know how that happened.
Normally, quarterbacks about to age out go for someone a little older, you know, and more studied. She's saying that they never divorced. And Shannon's like,
oh, well, a lot of people stay married even though they're not. Lucky them, quote unquote. Sounds horrible to me. By the way, did you know you can get ice cream for your dog two doors down?
A lot of people stay married, unless you're married to David, in which case, he destroys your family. So, okay, go on. Tell me more.
So she says, he seemed like such an adult and like he was playing for the Browns and I'll be drunk on the Jumbotron. And he asked me if I'd please stop drinking and I'm like throwing up. I was a mess.
Oh, yeah, that's a great story. So when you met your ex-husband, were you working at the time? Do you have any skill sets? And she's like,
I was naked in a magazine.
Love that I'm attaching my caboose to this.
I am a fish drinking a tiny straw right now.
Surely by accident.
It's like, yeah, I was working for Playboy at the time. He was the starting quarterback. I was the reigning Playmate of the Year. You know how it goes. And she goes, oh, well, that is an honor, Playmate of the Year. Ooh, ooh, wow, you're going to have a first line. You're going to be first in line to hell. I mean, you're going to get a big room in Hades. So good for you.
Wow. Hello, I'm calling the Slut Hotel. We have a new occupant for you. Wow. But we're friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was the early 2000s. Everybody was at the Playboy Mansion. George Clooney, Michael Bay, David Schwimmer. Oh. Hard-on inducing Davy Dave Schwimmer. Wow.
Was anyone from Nickelback there by chance?
So she says, I remember leaving the Halloween party one night with Leo DiCaprio, and I'm like 20 years old. I'm like driving to his house to the Hollywood Hills, listening to like the Eminem song Lose Yourself, and I am literally like losing myself. I didn't sleep with him though. I should have though.
Mm-hmm.
Then she also worked for the WWE, and she goes, remember the wrestling? I was on Monday Night Raw for them.
Oh, Monday Night Raw. That's is that different from when you curl up in a bathrobe and cry for 2 hours on your sofa feeling raw?
Well, that's good for you. I mean, I have Tuesday night cooked and Wednesday night Uber Eats and Thursday night. I'm not eating today. Just kidding. It was ice cream in the freezer. I didn't know there was any left.
I have Wednesday through Sunday emotional raw. Is that different?
Oh. So what about Friday night cry cry? Fry cry. We call it fry cry. What were you talking? Centerfold. Centerfold alert.
So they bond in this little store, and then they spend $1,200. And then we go to Tamara's house. Vicky's over there. Vicky is presumably excited to be back. I mean, you would think that she would be. It seems like she's wanted to be back for a long time, but it doesn't look like she is. Every time they show her, she's like, oh my God, hi Tamara. God, I hate this. When they start fighting, she's like, ugh, bleh. I don't like her snoring. I just don't like it.
Yeah, she doesn't seem to actually be enjoying this process anymore. So she's finally back and everything she's like snoring through. She's not yes anding anything. And she's also not really contributing anything story-wise so far. So, Vicky, you have to, like, you're back at work now, okay?
Don't worry. There is going to be some classic Vicky sex shaming coming up for anybody. Anybody who's worried, it's coming.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
We never miss our call, it's Diane Call. Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS, we love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
Gather round for the lore of Michelle Moore.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.